Good evening. Nick Corcadella, 73 Old Mountain Road. I want to thank you for your presentation and all the details. Just a few years ago, our voters approved a $40 million bond for improvements to our school facilities, including this state-of-the-art facility, and it was just a few years ago. Did that plan put before the voters contemplate or describe an installation of this magnitude on this facility?
In anything that I've seen, sir, I have not seen plans for solar as part of that. This is something moving forward that we've been talking about here for the last 2 years.
So the answer is no. Okay.
That is a no.
Okay. Question about consultations that were done with respect to this design. Was your firm or were the school board involved in any consultations with the Clinton Township Fire Department about this design?
Not at this moment, sir.
Are you aware that when applicants go before the Clinton Township Planning Board, even with a concept plan, they're routinely expected to consult with the fire department on any design issues that could affect the fire department's ability to respond to an emergency on site, and that in fact, solar panels on roofs have been shown to cause problems for fire personnel accessing a roof in case of a fire? I would like to urge the school board, because this is not a plan that will go before the planning board. The school board is exempt. And this design is at a point right now where roof coverage is such an inherent part of the design. I don't see how you could even go to the planning board for a consultation and have them direct you to go to the fire department to get input at that late stage of the process. So I'd like to urge this board to consult with our fire department. That's what they're here for. And I'm frankly surprised that this kind of consultation hasn't been done. Anyone who's been to a planning board meeting in Clinton Township knows that.
Well, let me make a comment with regard to what the law requires the school to do. Any project that the school undergoes must be submitted to and reviewed and approved by the New Jersey Department of Education. Anything that is any addition to the school or specifically the parking lot canopies or the ground mounted canopies will trigger courtesy planning board review and a maximum 55-day review period by that planning board. Now, once we submit to the Department of Education for the canopy mounts, we have to submit for that courtesy review under the municipal land use law to the planning board as well. The planning board will have 55 days to comment on it. Those comments will go back to the New Jersey Department of Education, which can and may impact the review and or approval process from the DOE. So they're inherently, now the planning board has the ability, and we've done this in other districts, the planning board will then take those plans and concept plans and distribute them to the fire department, to the OEM, to police, to any other interested agency. However, that distribution should come from the planning board, which is required in accordance with the school public contracts law.
How much did the school board spend on your firm to have this design and plan put together?
The fee for this phase, and I'm going to get close, don't quote me, it was $35,500. That fee is fully refundable once the PPA company signs a contract with the board. Upon contract execution, that PPA company will write a check to the board for that total fee.
If the school board were to consult with our fire department and the fire department warned of potential safety problems with having this much roof coverage with solar panels to the extent that it might cause problems for firemen being able to access the building from the roof in case of a fire, would your fee be refundable?
I didn't hear your last part of the question, sir.
If our fire department were consulted at the point that you just described later in the process and the fire department indicated potential safety problems with fire personnel accessing the building in case of a fire through the roof, indicating that this whole thing was problematic in that regard, would your firm be obligated to refund the fee to the school board?
No, sir. And let me add a comment to that. The comment is that the solar panels have been carefully located on the roof to maintain access to all of the rooftop units, all of the ingress and egress for the roof, and all of the rooftop access with regard to roof ladders, roof scuttles, and anything of that nature, such that any of the current circulation that you have on the rooftop pads to access, maintain, all of those units will still be maintained. We make certain to maintain all access aisles on the roof. With regard to any comments that come back from the planning board conceptual review, we will certainly work with any of the municipal agencies to modify the design such that it's amenable to those agencies.
I believe you. I just question the prudence of this board spending $35,000 on a design which they could have very easily checked with the fire department conceptually before even initiating it. Thank you.
Again, Bill Lamuccio, and I'm sorry if I don't have the background on this whole project, but why not put them all across the street?
I think that's a question for the Board of Education, sir.
Oh, that wasn't your choice?
They
told you where to put them?
We have progressed the project in consultation with the Board of Education, and every step of the way we've asked them for their input and have modified the direction on a per district, per school basis.
Could it be put all across the street on the ground?
That has not been investigated by our office.
Well, you're the expert. I'm just asking you, knowing what you know about this, could all the panels be put across the street on the ground?
I can't give you an answer at this point in time. We haven't done that investigation, sir.
But if I can clarify, that would only be energy savings for those two buildings, not the other two,
yes,
which is Round
that's
Valley
true.
And
that's
Patrick
correct.
Barron, correct?
Yes, sir.
Right, it would only address this location.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
It would only be able to address this location.
That's fine, yes. But that's one down. Okay, so could, my question still stands. Okay, you have what, 15 acres across the street, is it?
Almost 17 acres.
17 acres, I'm sorry. Why not just flood the whole thing with solar panels? Is that possible? Would a PPA go along with that? And then maybe the school board can actually make some money for the school by selling it back.
Well, there actually is a limit how much we're allowed to sell, per se, because we cannot generate energy beyond our needs. So that's the one issue there. There was discussion
unless you own
of,
it.
You can only make as much as you need. And as Mr. Centurino had put out, it would be 85% of what our actual need is would be our target. Because that is something that was discussed, and I was actually going to bring that up before the YMCA presentation. One of the options we talked about was doing just that, creating something akin to a solar farm over there, but not in a position where we're able to generate more energy than we actually need. That was one of the hindrances that. We could make it so that it actually powered both of these buildings based on the idea, and Mr. Centurino talked about, we would need a waiver to say that this is one contiguous
this and the
land.
Building above.
Correct, and Spruce Run. And they would be able to take that generation.
And there would be no more, then you could design it where there'd be no panels on the buildings, on the parking lots.
That is correct.
So, I don't know, I'm not a designer or anything else. Wouldn't that just sound a little easier for everyone to accept?
Again, that was one option put before the board as a possible use of the land across from this building.
Okay, so that will be looked into then, I'm assuming?
I was going to bring that up again before I introduced the YMCA.
Okay.
One of the other options, along with, and I'll jump ahead, the discussion of fields and the cost there.
Well, I'm sorry to step on you like that.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Komorowski, 6 Woods Edge Court. What about the reflection off the solar panels while people are driving down 31 or say 78? Is there any kind of reflection coming off this, the solar panels?
What you're speaking of is something called an SRI or a solar reflectivity index.
Okay.
The lighter the surface or the whiter the surface, the higher the SRI. The darker or the blacker, if you will, the surface, the lower the SRI. So reflectivity here is not a concern or an issue.
Okay. What about repairing the roof? Say the roof has leaks. You got to pull the systems off the roof. Did we think about that? Or the roof's just going to last forever? Is it guaranteed for life, the roof?
The installation for the roof, sir, is based on the life of the roof, and part of the PPA RFP will accommodate renovations or repairs to that roof such that the life of the roof is commensurate with the warranty of the panels.
Thank you.
Calvin Chiu, CHIU, 6 Hugh Hollow Court. My question is that the solar system, does it contain a battery plan to store extra energies?
No, sir. No? The energy generated by the solar system will go through an inverter that and will be used at the district location, at the school or the site on which it's generated. Any additional energy will go back to the grid. So the district's meter on a per-site basis will never spin back past zero. However, any additional energy that's generated that's not used by the district, the utility company will reimburse the district on a wholesale rate per kilowatt hour. So the district will still need to purchase that energy that gets generated from the solar array. However, they will get a wholesale kilowatt hour rate back. The reason why we've designed the system at a maximum size of 85% of the utility demand is to avoid just that. Because if you are paying 8.5 cents per kilowatt hour to the PPA and you're receiving an approximate wholesale rate back of 5 cents from the utility company, then it would essentially cost the district a couple of cents for energy that they're not using, which is the reason why we size the system at 85% of demand.
Okay, so, the reason I mentioned this is because I see many of my neighbors didn't like the candle and the solar panel period. Just wondering that if we have a battery bank that could store energies, so during weekend or you know off school, they could store energy there, so we have less solar panel out there, you know,
the energy
insulation.
Projections. I'm sorry, sir.
Go ahead.
The energy projections that we have made have been on an annual basis. Based on the location of the district and the altitude and azimuth of the sun with regard to that location. So they are averages. Sometimes they're going to generate more energy, sometimes less. And the answer is the energy will be used as the school needs it. So did I answer your question?
Because, you know, during the, you know, nighttime, we have a lot of school events.
Yep.
If we have an energy bank or battery, pair of battery that store the energy that can be used in the nighttime also. I thought it may be a good thing. My second question is, how does the PPA make money? I mean, it sounds great to me, you know, we're going to save $3 million over 15 years, doesn't cost us anything. Somebody has to make money somewhere. So how does it work?
No, that's a good point. The PPAs are not doing this because they want to be good neighbors. They're doing this to make money. They make money in three revenue streams. One revenue stream is an accelerated depreciation. A second revenue stream is the value of the SREX, or the solar renewable energy credits that are sold on an open market or that are sold on a multi-year contract to the utility companies to meet their annual obligation in accordance with the state BPU. And thirdly, the companies are entitled to a federal tax rebate or credit, and those three revenue sources will generate ongoing revenue for the PPA. So some of that savings will be passed on to the district by way of a reduced energy cost per kilowatt hour.
Okay. My last question is, how long does those solar panels usually last?
The solar panel, the maximum lease for the project in accordance with the school public contracts laws is 15 years. The warranty for the solar panels is typically 25 years.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to the YMCA. If there are still people in the audience that have questions about the solar presentation, about the solar panels, you'll have an opportunity under the second recognition of the public to ask those questions or to raise those concerns. I would suggest to the board that this is an item that we've talked about for quite some time, a good year and a half, probably going on 2 years. I would ask that it be placed on the agenda for the October 17th Board of Education meeting. That's our next public meeting, October 17th, and that we have a motion and decide one way or another what we're going to do in terms of the solar panels. And I ask that we make that decision at our October Board of Education meeting. Thank you, sir, for your presentation.
I was just going to clarify something. The motion will be simply to start the process to go out for the competitive process. That in itself doesn't even guarantee that anything will be done. I just want to make sure people understand the process. We work with our engineering firm here. They will help us prepare specs. So specs will be sent out. Numerous PPA companies will come back with proposals. Part of what the board will do is define those specs, including where do we want the panels to go. So I want to make it clear that no decision has been made yet, whether they're going on roof mounts, whether they're going in canopies. That's all part of the process that the board will determine with our architects. All of that information will go out to various PPA companies. They'll come back with proposals. We will look at that proposals. We will also take into account public comment, and then the board may or may not go forward with any solar process. So I want to make sure that's clear. A lot of questions were asked about bidding and so forth. That is the process. So there is no decision yet. Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Next on our discussion this evening will be the land across from the middle school. As stated, it's approximately 17 acres. To give just a brief history, when this building was set to be built, there was a change order that brought about the need to move back the building site plan 150 feet. This negated the ability for this site to hold 9 athletic fields. So to date, there are no athletic fields for the middle school to utilize, and there are several sports that we maintain here that have to go down to Bunt Park to practice and play at. So some of the discussions since Mrs. Lenhart, the business administrator, and I have been in here surrounded around the idea of how would we go about creating fields. In consultation with our engineer of record, Andrew Holt, of Suburban Consulting Engineers, we looked at what would that mean in the way of working out the property across the way to make a mixed sport field, soccer and lacrosse, as well as a baseball field and a softball field, so we would support all our outdoor programs. That estimate of cost came out just under $900,000. That is not a particular item that the district has in the way of capital reserve to get that project done. So another discussion was, as brought up, what about the use of that towards solar and powering these two buildings based on that? And with the help of Mr. Centabrino, looking at the need for a variance to see that the three lots, Spruce Run, CTMS, and the land across the street from CTMS can be seen as one property, and therefore any energy generated in one area, the land across the way, could now be purposed here in these two other sites, the two schools. And lastly, was the idea of a land lease agreement that would be mutually beneficial to the district as well as the community. And some of the discussions that actually transpired before I took this position was the idea of the YMCA having a land lease agreement with the Board of Education. Many people would ask, why wouldn't you just go ahead and sell the land? Well, that money is a one-time purchase, and that money would go back only within that 1 year. And what you would want to do in any situation in a school district is create a revenue source or stream. And in a land lease agreement, the Board of Education would be the defining agent in what we would use that land for. And tonight, we've asked the representatives of the YMCA to come out and give a presentation based on what they would foresee that land used if we were to enter into a land lease agreement with them. So at this time, I'd like to invite Mr. Bruce Black, President and CEO, the Hunterdon County YMCA, as well as the YMCA Board Chair, Alex Van Vildehuizen, to come up and speak on the YMCA's behalf. Alex? The PowerPoint's there.
Thank you to the Clinton Township School Board. My name is Alex Van Vildehuizen. I am the current board chair of the Hunterdon County YMCA. I've been on the board for approximately 8 years. I've been board chair for about 3. I would like to thank the board for giving us the opportunity to present some thoughts and start an open discussion of what we think would be beneficial to the school, to the community, in the use of the land across the street, and in hopes of creating some type of partnership over the many, many years. Our CEO, Mr. Black, will give a little history, but the Hunterdon County YMCA has been in the community for over 100 years, and we fully expect to be here another 100. So a partnership of this type is something that our board and our supporters is very encouraged and very excited about if it fits within the needs of both organizations. And that's really what we're here tonight for, is to just give an overview of what our thoughts are and start the discussion and see where we go from here. So with that, I'd like to introduce Bruce Black, our CEO.
Thanks, Alex. And thank you all. As Alex said, this is, I think, the beginning of a discussion, and that's where we're at. We've been invited to talk to you a little bit about what we believe we can bring to the community through a new YMCA with a partnership with the school district, and that's what this is about tonight. With me tonight, I have Frank Barlow, who's our chief operating officer, and Jim Hill and Ellie Hoffman from Fry Engineering, who at the end of the discussion will brief you a little bit about the site plan and the way we envision a Y being developed here. Pardon me while I figure out what I'm doing. There we go. I like it when it works. As Alex said, we've been in Hunterdon County since 1903. We are a 501c3 organization. We are a charitable organization. We believe that charity is providing charity to our community is part of our community benefit. We do have a volunteer board of trustees. Right now that group, there are 24 members on the board of trustees. They help us with the governance of the organization and helping us build a strategic plan. We are the largest youth serving organization in Hunterdon County. We serve over 6,000 local children annually. What's incredible about our organization is 53% of our membership are the ages of 18 and under. So we are a youth serving organization, and that's what we've done all those years that we've been here in Hunterdon County. I think the other thing that's incredible about the Y is that last year in 2010, we provided $315,000 of financial assistance to kids and families in Hunterdon County that without that assistance would not be able to participate in programs such as our school-age child care program, youth sports, swim lessons. We're here to make sure that kids and families have opportunities that every Hunterdon County resident should have. We have three different locations. We have our Deer Path facility, which is an owned facility. It's a 27,000 square foot facility at Deer Path Park. We also have YMCA Camp Carr, which is our summer day camp program, located on the south banks or the banks of the South Raritan River. We have about 26 acres that we program each summer. And then we have our what we call our Round Valley operation, which is it's a leased facility on Route 22, and we've been in that facility for about 10 years. As an organization, we have continued to grow. Our current facilities have reached or are about to reach their capacity. Several years ago, we expanded our Deer Path facility. It has reached its zoning limits at 27,000 square feet. We will not be able to expand that facility any further. Our Board of Trustees has determined that in order for us to continue growing and to continue to serve residents in Hunterdon County, it's important that we find a permanent facility in the north part of the county. As I mentioned, we've been in the Round Valley facility for about 10 years. We have grown to the point that we feel that actually we've established a member and program base that we believe provides a sound foundation for future growth. So we've determined that this north part of the county is where our future lies as an organization, and we've been searching in the north part of the county for several years for a permanent location or permanent site. Yeah, I think before we get into what a building looks like, it's important to understand what we as a YMCA provide. And the Y is much more than a facility and a building. It's what we do in the community and what we provide in terms of programs and services. We're about improving or developing what we call developmental assets, those things that develop healthy lifestyles in young people, and making sure that we are looking out for the total well-being of every individual we serve. Teen programs are an important part of what we do at the Y. We provide a variety of physical activities that promote a healthy lifestyle in a fun and supervised manner. One of the great things that we've done over the last several years is provide what we call a strong kids membership. And over the last 4 years, we've provided a free membership to the Y for every seventh grade student in Hunterdon County. Not every kid takes advantage of that, but this past year, roughly 300 children were involved in our Strong Kids membership. That is, and as I said, that's completely free to those seventh grade students. The idea being is that you know, we're instilling healthy habits in young people at a time when it's important, and that their habits are forming. Senior programming is another important thing that we do. We have another leased facility in Califon, where we have a senior center designed specifically for those folks that are not able to come to our facilities down here in the southern part of the county. Seniors are there 3 days a week to gather, to stay fit, to remain active, and for many of those folks, it's the only time that those seniors are outside of their homes. Aquatic programming is something we're well known for. We provide a variety of aquatic programs from preschool to adults. We believe that as we look at a North County facility, aquatic programming is an important aspect of what we envision here. We've had some preliminary discussions with the local high schools. High schools would be very interested in staying in the county for their competitive swimming programs. Right now, many of you are aware that both North High School and Borees swim competitively at RVCC. So we've had some discussions to how do we keep those teams here in the county. The Y is all about partnerships and developing partnerships, developing relationships. We certainly believe that a facility like this needs to be open to the community, open to organizations, and we would have space like that designed into the facility. As Mr. Carroll mentioned, the beginning part of this discussion was about outdoor fields, outdoor facilities. We have tried to incorporate those sorts of amenities into the concept plan. And truly, you know, this is about a partnership. It's about collaborations and developing relationships. And you know, if we come to the end of this discussion and it doesn't work for the school district, doesn't work for the Y, you know, we're okay with that, and we'll move on to other locations. But I think what's important to keep in mind is that I think together, this type of partnership is what the community is looking for. I mean, I think we've all heard about shared services and shared opportunities, and I think we have an opportunity here, I think, to really make an impact on kids and families in Hunterdon County for generations to come. I think that's bigger than all of us. There are other potential opportunities, I believe, as well for township services, township personnel. In some of the Ys that I've been at, we've had relationships with local fire departments, police departments, and rescue personnel, making sure that there were membership opportunities available to those folks. It's a win-win situation. It's great for the Y to have individuals with that level of training and that level of expertise in our facilities, and it's a great opportunity for those personnel as well. We've had some preliminary discussions on what the Y might be able to provide to the school district in addition to being a tenant on your property, and we've discussed the potential for additional aquatic and youth programming to be added to the physical education curriculum here at here in the township. The benefit to the Y is huge. I mean, it gives us an opportunity to expand our charitable mission and programming by having more facilities and more program and services available to those we serve. As I mentioned earlier, we've determined as a YMCA and as a YMCA board that we feel Clinton Township is the basis from which we can grow, and so we've identified this as one of the key goals in our strategic plan, and again it will allow us to provide greater access to people in our county. End of the day, it just really helps us make sure that more people in Hunter County develop healthier lifestyles and lead more fulfilling lives. Yeah, as we as I get towards the end of my presentation, you know, some of the things that we've looked at in terms of a facility, natatorium or six lane indoor pool is key. You know, we believe that that is a basis for the operation to grow, and it's a key element of the facility. I mentioned teen space and teen programming. That is the why. I think when you think about the why, it should be about kids and teens specifically, making sure that we're providing a safe and wholesome place for kids to go after school. And weekend evenings and weekend days, you know, this facility would surely provide that sort of opportunity. Community space, again, my experience with YMCA construction is everything is multi-purpose. Nothing is specific to really one group, one program. For us as YMCA operators, it's important that we have that sort of flexibility. Health and wellness facilities. Our current Round Valley facility has roughly about 7,000 square feet devoted to health and wellness space. You know, we that would all of that would move toward this new facility. We would look for specifically at strength training circuits and a variety of cardio machines, somewhere in the area of about. Of about a 5,000 square foot dedicated health and wellness space. Right now, our 7,000 square feet is comprised of locker rooms, program rooms, childcare rooms. So this would be a much larger facility. A high school size or high school regulation gymnasium, allowing us to program both sides of a gym in a half court situation. A variety of classroom space. Outdoor field space that would include a minimum of two youth soccer fields. I think on the concept drawing you'll see it's two soccer fields and a softball diamond. And then in addition, some outside space for either other recreational activities or outdoor gathering space, perhaps for some public gatherings as well. This is one of the concept drawings that we have, and I can speak in general terms about how this was laid out, and I may ask if there are specific questions as we go forward. Mr. Hill and Ellie Hoffman will come up to address some of the reasons for the layout. But as we looked at this, there was a number of things that we wanted to accomplish. The footprint of the building accommodates somewhere around a 50,000 square foot facility. You know, we looked at access currently has to be off of Gray Rock Road. There is no access off of Route 31 allowed at this point. You know, we did in some of our preliminary discussions with the Finance and Property Committee from the board. You know, we were made aware of some of the, some of the runoff issues to the neighbors, to the neighboring neighborhood there. And specifically with that in mind, the fields were put in between the facility and the neighborhood, allowing for drainage to be developed either within the fields themselves or in retention basins that would be designed. This facility does include a gymnasium, a basketball gym, a fitness wellness center. It does also include a child care center and multi-purpose space as well as administrative space. There were a number of issues that we talked our way through between a small group of Y representatives and the finance and property group. I'm sure those questions will come up again tonight. So the other design, there's one difference between this design and the second design. As you look at the, there's a roadway that actually wraps around the building, and that's a fire access, which was required. This just has a little bit different sort of route around the facility. Essentially, the two layouts are almost the same. Yeah, I tend to be brief on these things, and I'm open to questions.
The access to this facility, is that off of Gray Rock Road?
Yes. Or Route 31? I think currently there is no access allowable from Route 31, so it had to be off of Gray Rock Road.
How many parking spaces does that accommodate? Because I've been to the Deer Park facility, and parking is definitely an issue.
I'm going to ask Mr. Hill to answer that. That was designed by code.
May I have the question again, please?
How many parking spaces does that accommodate?
We approximate about 225 spaces. And that's based upon the needs of the Y from other facilities sized accordingly.
Thank you.
There is nothing in the Clinton code that defines what to do parking for the Y from, so we were using combination of what the Y needed at over Deer Path, what the Y needed up at on Route 22, and the national code that they have, including extra parking that would be used for the ball fields at some times.
Thanks.
Could you go into a little more detail on the water retention issues? Obviously, there are a few people in the room who are concerned about that. We've talked extensively about that previously. I know you don't have a full design, but could you address some of that for us?
We're aware of, not to the total extent that's probably necessary, the fact that there are some issues on the north side of the field with the homeowners in that area that apparently may have been in part created by the extra fill that was put on the fields. We're also aware from Mr. Cologne, who owns the property to the west, that he had some problems that he's approached the board about. And one of the charges from the Y to us, if the plan goes forward, is to resolve or otherwise fix those issues, meet with the homeowners on the north side, and reroute store, put storage in that would take care of any flooding going off the property.
So both those plans call for a water basin, both of them?
No, we're right now, and very preliminary because, again, we've had the one meeting that we had before just to do a layout to see if some of these things would work. The intent would be there would be some under parking lot storage, probably under the ball field type of storage, and possibly the lower field to the west might be used for a higher frequency storm, like a 50 or 100 year storm, to do shallow storage on the field itself. But both fields would be designed with extremely porous surface and storage beneath the field to help accommodate the flows. We have to meet all of the state requirements for reduction in flow and water quality as is dictated to anybody else that does development. So we'd have to meet those standards no matter what.
Both designs had two soccer fields and a softball field?
Yes. Yeah, Bruce explained, the only real difference between the two is after the first time we had made a presentation to the board to discuss some of the areas, we were taking a look at it and realizing that we really had to show what would be fire or other emergency access around the entire building. So we added that loop in to show that we could do it.
There wouldn't be enough room for a baseball field as well as a softball field?
We have a softball field. The baseball field, a 90-foot field would probably be overextending it. We didn't get to the point where we're trying to shift the fields around to accommodate another one. One of the reasons being is that we were Also considering some off-parking or off-the-parking lot type of summertime parking that could be used for some of the sports activities if need be. So it would be on the grass type of parking next to the ball fields or some similar situation.
So either one of these two designs would not accommodate our 7th and 8th grade baseball team at the middle school.
Yeah, I think as we discussed in the finance and property meetings, that the softball diamond was the requirement. Now we can change. I think you probably cannot read that, but the outfield or the foul line dimensions are 200 feet from home plate to I guess the foul pole. I wouldn't be too familiar with those, but
okay. Any board members have any other questions?
I have a question.
Sure.
Is there any pedestrian access from crossing the middle school onto your property?
We suppose there could be. We had not gotten to that point. One of the things we'd always be concerned about is safe and adequate access across the road because of the traffic that's there. Our driveway location is only concept. We have the feeling that most likely we'll be lined up directly with the driveway here if we get to that point. And that would make it easier for pedestrian access to go across the road.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I know the plans are preliminary, but with perfect conditions, what would the schedule be for the Y to design and occupy a new facility?
Perfect or preferred? You know, we have some resources to for construction and for development, but we would have to raise money for this or borrow money. Yeah, I think the biggest issue that we all have is a decision to go forward and then work with the just in development in the county. It's not always as easy as what I had hoped. So and we look at this as I'm guessing, but a 3 to 5 year project.
And the why, do you have a fund already established for this purpose, or would you have?
As I said, we do have some resources. We have we had a gift that was bequeathed to us for a substantial it's a substantial resource, but this would require us to go out and raise money in the community as well.
Okay, thank you.
And I think it's important to note that. You know, we construction development of the facility is on the Y. We're not looking at the district to support the construction, and we were looking at a long-term lease, I think, in terms of the property itself.
To add to what Bruce had just noticed, the one of the charges we think that was given both to the Y and to us at the first meeting, because it'll be a staged program, is that most likely would be asked to try to resolve the stormwater issues first with the installation of the fields and so on, if, you know, to try to do that. If it goes forward, that would probably be our first step. We'd have to end up designing most of the site, but still we'd do enough to take care of those issues.
Again, Michelle.
Do I understand that you are currently leasing the Round Valley site, so you would end up closing that site and opening the Gray Rock site, so there wouldn't be two facilities within 5 or 6 miles of each other?
Yes, that's correct. The difficult thing for us is the timing of this, and that timing the end of a lease with the opening of a facility. So, but we would not operate both facilities at the same time.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark.
Mr. Black, assuming this goes forward, I trust there's going to be a comprehensive, in-depth analysis and business plan put before the board, more than we're seeing today, right? There was a traffic study, an environmental study, and also with preference maybe given to the members of our community who are facing some challenges right now?
Any type of application that would have to go before the planning board would require everything that's in the book. Bedrock, stormwater, traffic, also any of the basic issues that have to go through the environmental impact statement for the same as the board had to prepare, even if it was for a functional review, or Mr. Fallone had to prepare, we would take that information and use it toward this and add other information to it. But we can't get through the board without doing the proper analyses.
Right.
Jim, one more question.
Go ahead.
In the past, there had been some comments and some questions from residents about the Y being also a park and ride. Is that being considered in this facility, or are those two separate issues not to be confused?
As far as the Y is concerned, that hasn't been part of the discussion. That was dropped a long time ago. So in the most recent discussion with the finance and the property committees, park and ride was not part of the equation.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? I'm going to open it up to the public, but if you have questions as we go along, please feel free to
Bill Amuccio, resident of Clinton. What other sites have you looked at?
I'm sorry?
What other sites have you looked at?
We've looked at several, and some we are continuing to look at.
At this level?
Yes.
So you have plans drawn for other locations?
We've had a concept plan drawn for our current location.
Okay.
The other locations we've looked at, we've not done concept plans for.
Why did you choose to put a concept plan together on this location?
Because we were asked to.
By who? Specific.
As I mentioned, we've met several times with
the whole board or one particular person on the board?
No, I'd never said the whole board. I said several times that we've met with there's been a group of Y representatives meet with the property committee and the finance committee of the board.
Okay, we have those names. Do you realize, if you bring that down a little, you have houses right there? You've just stuck three ball fields in four people's backyards. Where do you live?
I live in Lebanon.
Why don't you put that in your backyard? Or better yet, why don't you put it in Mr. Dinkoff's backyard? Mr. Dinkoff, where do you live? Don't look at the time, pal.
I live in Clinton Township.
Well, why don't you put this in your backyard if you're so dead set on putting ball fields somewhere? Why don't you put it over in the Exxon people? They offered the school to put this on their property and was turned down. Why don't you go there? This is a community. This is a neighborhood. This is not commercial property. You've just effectively torn down a whole row of trees that blocked the wind from us, and you've also devalued our property. By the way, what about when you put this in residential neighborhoods like this? What is the property value? What happens to the property value? How far does it plummet? Like, we need help doing that.
Sir, we were just asked to get involved in the discussion, and that's all.
No. This isn't a discussion. You have plans laid out here, pal. You have gone to an architect. You have gone to drawings. You've gone to ground here. You're ready to go to seed. Okay, you have this all laid out. I just heard you.
We've just been asked.
This is a little more than just a discussion.
We've been asked to present a plan, and that's what we've done this evening.
Anything else moving forward, Mr. Lemusha, would be on the Board of Education.
Okay, I can tell the board right now, if you even think about this, we'll get a new board. Because there's one thing that will definitely motivate people around here, and that's having our property values brought down. And Mr. Dinkoff, you can smirk at me all you like, Mr. Dinkoff, but you are an elected official. You're supposed to be watching out for the school children and the neighborhood, not for your own grandiose plans here. Sir? Could you respond to me, Mr. President?
I'd like to respond, sir.
Yeah, go right ahead.
There are a number of reasons for looking at this property. One of them specifically was to deal with the water runoff issues, okay? And the Y represents one possible way of funding this work that a number of people in this neighborhood have been asking us to do. We've already told you how much it will cost us to do that. We have estimates of close to $1 million for us to excavate.
But that's a fait accompli. You people made that. You made that problem, so it's your turn to clean it up.
Well, first
don't,
of all,
don't, you don't clean something up by sticking this on somebody else's head.
First of all, sir, nobody here made that problem.
No, this school board, this organization did that.
This organization, but let me explain something to you. All of us here on the board inherited this problem. Now, you can complain about the decision that
complain?
Was made.
I spent $20,000 in my basement to put French drains and pumps in. And don't think I'm just complaining here, and I'm not the only one. Don't diminish what we've gone through here and you still haven't done anything about taking 30 feet of dirt down. Your solution is to put up 250 parking lots, three ball fields, a swimming pool, and by the way, the traffic coming in and out of there on the weekdays, have you been here when the buses come in, sir? Have you seen what goes on here on Grey Rock Road? I mean, you're in Hunterdon County. Have you even stepped in here and saw what the confusion is like in the morning?
Yes.
Ah. And again, what are you going to do with the berm of trees over there that protect our houses from the wind?
I think you are way far ahead of yourself.
Well, I have experience dealing with a school board in this area, and I know if we don't step up now, they'll just go on their merry way like they did with this building. And I know it's none of you, but it is the school board.
Mr. Black, Kaplan wants to comment.
Nothing is going on its merry way. We've been having this discussion for almost 2 years, and the purpose of us being here tonight, by the way, is to collect input, and not abuse. Let me make that perfectly clear to you, sir.
Oh, this isn't abuse. This is anger.
Okay. You can be as angry as you want. We're trying to solve this problem, okay?
Well, you're not solving a problem. Do you understand you're creating another one?
That's fine, and that's why we're here to collect public comment. If you don't think it's a viable solution, sir, that's fine. No decision has been made. We are doing our duty to come here tonight and put together one possibility for the land.
But it's this gentleman was asked by you to put this plan together.
Yes, I and the rest of the Finance Committee asked him because, frankly, sir, it seems silly to me to come here in front of the public and tell you that one of our proposals is for the Y to do something on the land without even a simple concept plan of what that might look like. How could you come here tonight and give comment without even the vaguest idea of what they were proposing?
Well, you know what? Why even have that proposal? Because it would take not a really far leap to understand what a YMCA with a pool and ball fields is going to look like. So why even propose it? When you know this is a neighborhood, this is not commercial property. It might be zoned that way, but you've got 80 people living behind here that you are going to effectively destroy. And that's what you're doing here. That's not solving a problem. That's creating a disaster. As worse of a disaster than that's there now at 30 feet of land. My question to you is, what's your purpose here? Your purpose is not to decide something and then decide, well, I'm going to have a little drawing put up here, and this is where we're going. No, this is a plan. You've got a plan set out here. This is not just someone coming in to discuss something.
You've been talking
about it for 2 years, I haven't heard about this until it got into the paper.
Well, then you weren't reading the article, sir, because we've had at least two or three meetings discussing this in the last 2 years, okay?
Okay,
this is the first
meetings.
Opportunity that the full board has had to discuss this. The only people that have seen this plan are the people in the Facilities and Finance Committee, and the only way we can present this, what information we have to the board, is under the format that we have right now.
It would be a very unproductive
meeting for us to sit up here and present to the rest of the board anything that didn't have a picture for people to see.
Okay, listen. I'll back off a little here. I'm not attacking anyone on this board. I'm attacking the process. Okay?
It's the legal process.
I know what a legal process is.
I'm glad to hear that.
What I'm attacking is the fact that you've established the ground game here. You've put it on paper. Okay? Just like you did with the solar company. Okay? This is not just a discussion any longer. Now you're asking the people in this community who have already had damages done to their lives, their property values, and their homes because of what the school board did. Not this school board, but the previous school board, who said, by the way, nothing would ever get built across the street. Nothing. Maybe a couple of ball fields. That's it. Now you're looking at a six-lane swimming pool, 250 cars, facilities, and on weekends you're going to have parties. Well, why don't you put this out somewhere where there aren't people living in the neighborhood, where there aren't children? And by the way, that access you're talking about, it'll be our backyards. That's what the access will be. And if it was your property, if it was your homes, how would you feel right now? You're members of this community. I mean, what would this make you feel like right now? Don't you think everybody in here from this area is angry as hell right now after seeing this? And why shouldn't they be? It takes nothing to put something down and say, okay, yeah, it's for the benefit of everybody. Well, this is not. The solar panels, yeah, fill the whole place with solar panels.
But you know what?
Are we limited to 3 minutes per person?
You're supposed to be, yes. Thank you.
If the board would wish, I could attempt to answer a couple of.
My father came here, so I can't answer.
All right.
Well, I what I'm going to try to do, sir, is to be able to respond somewhat to a couple of the questions you brought up.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And if you would stop interrupting me, I could get done earlier. First of all, if you looked at the plans, you'd notice that there's a water line that goes across the north side of the boundary. Is that on your top of the picture? If you look at the north arrow on the plans, you can tell. Okay, the water line, is that, does that go on your side of the trees? The water line is on your side of the buffer. No, no, well, you're incorrect. The water line, okay, would you, if I'm trying to answer the question, if I could. Okay, all I'm trying to do is to answer a couple of the questions you raised. The water line is on the school property. It's inside the tree line. It is between the homes that are on the north side, top of the drawing, side of the drawing. The ball fields are currently set up to be south of or further in away from the trees than what is where the tree line currently is. The red or the outer boundary is pretty much the property line. We have to stay back so many feet from that with any kind of improvement in Clinton Township, any kind of structures. So we're staying back from those. So the ball fields themselves would not, they can't sit on top of the water line, so they have to be in back of the water line. The water line's about 6 feet in the ground. They don't want to be 5, 8, or 9 feet in the ground either. So anyway, those ball fields are designed to be in back of so as not to affect the buffer of the fairly mature trees that are along that property line. The whole design is intended at this time to try to resolve the issues that you're apparently, not apparently, but do have with water runoff into your property. That is imperative. That was the major thing that the board brought to our attention, is fix it. And the intent would be, if in fact they had the opportunity to do it, we would fix it and it would be done in phase one. These are line drawings to show how something could be laid out. They're gonna change. But the intent is to keep the driveway, as I mentioned, I'll probably be required by code to make the driveway line up with the current driveway of the school. I looked at it and I said, I'd love to go in closer to your property line because there's no cut, no fill to do, which reduces the amount of cost going in there. I was told absolutely not, get it as far away as you can. So we would not put it on that line unless somebody other than the Y or the school directed us to do it. It's improper. It's not proper to push the traffic up against a residential zone. So I mean, to please understand that we're at step one of 100 that we'd have to take for the Y to design something that would be a functional facility on that property. And yes, there will be 200 and some parking spots there because that is what's required to run the facility correctly. It is. The buffering requirements in Clinton are substantial. We've already had some comments from the people from the Voigt House. They would like to see the least amount of view of anything from the Voigt House in the historic view coming across the road. We would have to address that. We've heard issues from Mr. Fallone with regard to drainage on his property. We would have to answer questions with regard to that. We know that there's carbonate rock. We're in the carbonate rock district. The land is split almost equally between the type of rock that's under this building and the type of rock that's under Mr. Fallone's building. We have two types of rock to address. We can't infiltrate stormwater into that system just like this school can't do it, and he can't do it. We've got to do all through peak flow control. We have to do enough to meet our BMP responsibilities, which would be between 80 and 90% remove any kind of suspended solids within the water system. We have to do it or we don't get approval. On the traffic, yes, we know there's going to be traffic along the road. Yes, I've been out there and watched the buses go in and out. We have to discuss and find out what the gaps are. Does the Y have to adjust the uses of some of their programs so that we can avoid the peak flow of the buses going to and from the site? Or parents. We would have to do an intensive traffic study of that intersection and down by 31 again to accommodate whether any changes would have to be made. We looked at the spot that's already been cut in on the Fallone property. We can't use it. It would cost the Y money unless he donates the use of that property. I'd love to come in off 31. I can't. So I'm trying to do the best I can with the site that's been given to us, and we have to accommodate what the planning board tells us to do before we can go anyplace. This is line one of 100 that we have to go through. And we would hope that during that process, as many questions as we could answer adequately, honestly, and to your satisfaction, will be done.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there other questions about the why presentation?
Hi, everyone. I'm John Majoris. I'm a Clinton Township resident. I had a question about zoning. What is the zoning for this piece of property now? And if you sold it, would it be able to be developed into a shopping center or something that's maybe worse than a Y?
I believe it's RR4 and would require a variance.
Yes, it's RR.
What do you know?
It used to be at one time, used to be OB2, but it was changed.
What is it now?
Because I don't know how everybody else feels here. I know for people who are bordering this property, they don't want something built in their backyard. And I'm sorry they border a commercial zone piece of property. But if I had my dithers and if someone was going to build something there, it would be a YMCA. I mean, they're just a tremendous, tremendous attribute to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions about the YMCA presentation?
I'm Faith Furman, and I'm at 3 Cobblestone Lane. First, I want to thank the board for thinking outside the box and trying to find a solution to my neighbors who happen to be impacted by the land across the street. I'm terribly sorry. I would like to just say I'm very familiar with the YMCA and their tenets of character development, and it's unfortunate. I feel like our community is divided, and we are not demonstrating good character to each other, and that's unfortunate. I would like to just say that, to echo that comment, that a YMCA in our community of this nature is a wonderful alternative to a park and ride, to any other commercial development that would be done, and then to those neighbors who are impacted by it, what did you think might be built on empty farmland? I think this is a good alternative.
Thank you.